here. And I'd ask Doug Ward to lead us in the pledge of allegiance, please.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Doug. And item four is the system development charges, new business, and I'll ask our city manager to give us an overview.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And then there's some folks here that are important to this conversation, and maybe Dan can join me up here for just a minute because
sure.
He can help articulate this a little bit. There is a business that is looking to locate in Lapine in the Wickiup Junction area. On a site where there's an RV location now, and they call themselves the Polina Brewing Company. And as we talked to the gentleman that wanted to put the business in place, there was the issue of the system development charges. And I know you just all attended the class, or some of you attended the class in system development charges. System development charges is like a $5 word for impact fees, and as the city grows, one of the things that's important is that we capture impact fees from developers doing development. However, this site where this business would locate has the business already there. I mean, has a, and I'll let Dan here in a minute explain it better, but it already has a number of system development charges that are applied to the RV component part of this. And right now, because we haven't looked at any new policies with system development charges, we're charging RV users for RV sites equivalent to one system development charge. And that's a pretty high charge for a use that's only part-time here in Lapine. So the thought was that perhaps we could adjust the system development charges with the RV park just a bit and credit just a bit of that relief to this business enterprise so that they don't have to pay one additional sewer system charge and one additional water system development charge. And then Scott, do you know what each one of those charges would be?
Yeah, the sewer SDC is $5,700. The water SDC is $1,405.
Okay, so really what staff in cooperation with the developer is asking the council to consider would be the foregoing of the $5,700 fee and the $1,405 fee. Taking into account that there's these system development charges out there already and possibly excessive for what an RV park would affect our system. Okay? And with that, Dan, if you could help me out here a little bit.
Yeah, and I'll ask Ken, too, to fill you in a little bit, but it's kind of meeting some of our goals pretty rapidly. Ken Stewart already has three businesses. Do you have three businesses? Two or three businesses existing in town.
And you want to sit up here? Why don't you just come up and visit us?
That's okay. I'll stay here with these guys.
And so he wants to get another business going. So it's kind of cool. We don't have to bring somebody in from another area. We've got somebody already here, wants to invest in our community, wants to bring jobs here. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. He wants to put in a brew pub, basically. It's like a restaurant pub. And then there'll be another brewery that backs that up if this works out.
Also, I have Russ Scott here from Scott Logging, Scott Transportation. They've been in the area since, well, heck, a long time. And their company already employs 30 or 40 people, I would say. And he's looking to do this with us. Actually, there's three of us: Greg Stites, Russ Scott, and myself.
Cool. So, you know, if if you could kind of let us know what that vision looks like, and then we can fill in any gaps. But you know,
well, basically, what we're looking to do is to start the brew pub at first. That's going to employ about 12 people. Basically, a small restaurant and a tasting area for most of the breweries around the Bend area. We're going to have their beers in our facility and a few of our own. We'll do some brewing at this facility, but very little, basically aesthetic purposes only. There's really not a lot to say other than that. Our plan for the future, though, is to, we already have one 5,000 square foot building, but we would like to move into that and turn that into a full-time brewery, which would be packaging and sending our products throughout the United States, basically. Mm-hmm. And that would employ another 20 to 25 people, probably.
So the reason that they're coming here is to, just like Steve said, to kind of minimize the startup costs, because there's lots of costs involved, and to you know, make sure that they can move forward. There is other locations that are available to them, and so you know, they've got to pick their most affordable, and you know, the return on investment is important. So that's this is like one of the hurdles that was perceived that could be there, that we might have the ability to help them get through so they can move forward in this location. And that's why the urgency kind of to get to this point, talk to the council, see if it, make sure that this isn't going to be a barrier so we can do it in Lapine and not some other location.
We have an option to go to Sun River. They've already got one brewery there, and they would love to have more. We want to stay here.
And we want more breweries here, too.
Well, you know, it's funny. Bend is now having a problem with their water, the amount of water for all the breweries. We can only hope we have that problem here.
Yeah. So a couple things. First, it takes the council. Only the council has the authority, in my mind, to waive fees for things like SDCs. And I think we always have to be cautious, because if you do it for one, then you'd have to do it for the other. So what is different about this that would provide you the ability to do it here and not do it elsewhere is the fact that I think when we reanalyze SDC charges for RV locations, I think we won't end up charging them one. And right now we charge them one. And let me give you another example similar. If I'm not mistaken, apartments are charged less than one.
I believe apartments are one EDU per unit.
Okay. And that's yet another area where we might want to look at some relief, because generally an apartment, you don't have all the water use that you would have with a residence, because you don't have a yard to water. A lot of times you don't have washer and dryer. You go out and have a communal washer and dryer. You don't wash your car in your driveway. And so a lot of places adjust downward apartment units, provide them some relief, a lesser EDU, and arguably RV parks are the same way. If I have an RV park in Lapine, I'm probably only going to have it occupied a portion of the year. And yet we charge it the same as we would charge a residence. And so arguably you could provide some relief to this business. Instead of charging one extra of each, you could just say, in the scheme of things, when we take into account this is on the same property with all these RV units, I think there's like 35 of them or so.
I don't remember.
There's quite a few.
Scott probably knows.
There is 35.
Yeah. So it seems to me there could be some relief that the council could offer that wouldn't set the stage for someone to come in tomorrow and say, you know, I want that same similar relief that you afforded these people. But that's your call. And that's why I framed it on here as part of a special session, because to do this, you would need to take an action, and in order to take an action, you need a special session for that.
Do you have a recommendation for the council?
The staff recommendation would be that you would forego these charges, taking into consideration what we've offered in the way of testimony here that says there is some equitability of sharing around some of the cost for the existing STCs that arguably are higher than what they need to be.
And if I'm understanding this correctly, then what they would normally might be charged would be the $5,700 for a sewer and water for $1,405, and we you're recommending that we waive that in light of the others have already been paid and probably overly at that.
And just a caveat to that, that you would waive them predicated on this particular business coming in as was expressed. All right. So if they don't do this business or they do some other business, then that might be off the table.
Right.
Okay.
I would ask council for comments. Kathy?
Nothing now.
I'm sorry.
Nothing
now.
Okay.
I could hear you, but I don't think they could.
Stu?
How does this all figure into the rate study we just had done?
Well, the rate study says we need more monies, okay? And and where we're going to need more monies, well, we need them from SDCs, but what Chris Marco told us is we need to do two things. We need to adjust around some of our charges because we're overcharging certain people like the schools and we're undercharging other people. So he needs to help us adjust it that way. But then in addition, when we look at our needs and our obligations, that we don't have, we're underfunding our obligations, and so we need to increase our monthly rate, and he's suggesting somewhere in the neighborhood of, well, I want to say $12 over a two-year period or a three-year period, but that we need to do that. So I think the council always needs to keep its eye on the prize, and that is you need to have your sewer and your water systems self-sufficient. But I think within that too, you need a more customer base to help defray some of these costs. If you're just simply looking at your universe of people and say, well, we're just going to get a little more pound and flush out of them, first of all, they're going to push back, and they're going to say, well, what have you done to grow the business? What have you done to grow your community? And this gentleman is offering jobs and opportunities, and so I think that serves as a basis for consideration of the relief.
Okay, so then would there be an issue if, you know, because I'm definitely open for business coming into town and giving them all the help we can, but after they're established, they need to play.
Well,
and maybe have to start picking up some of that cost once the business is established.
I have absolutely no problem paying for what we're using. I mean, we need to be to do that. That's no problem. How do you? I mean, do you monitor the usage of water? Is that how you would decide?
Yeah, this situation is a little different because it's all a shared meter, whatever.
Well, we would want our own water meter. We have the capability to have our own water meter there.
Correct.
But my question is, okay, we may use, I'm just throw this out for an example. We may use 100 gallons of water and only 2% of that goes down the drain. How do you compensate? I mean, how do you figure out what you're going to use sewer-wise?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's not going to be a whole lot of residuals that we get rid of down the drain, because everything goes into composting that's left over from what we're doing. And 98% of our stuff goes in the bottle.
Correct. And I don't have the experience with dealing with breweries, so we're going to have to look at other agencies that have, there's just engineering companies that have worked with them that can provide information to us when it gets to the brewery.
Yeah, I think that down the road, that's going to be a pretty important thing that we put our heads together and figure that one out, because that's when our consumptions are obviously going to go up. For this brew pub, basically, it's not much of a consumption at all, because we're not doing a lot of, the only brewing we're doing there is aesthetically purposes anyway. You walk into one of these places, you smell the odors, and kind of goes with the whole thing. But the brewing facility itself, yes, there's going to be some substantial amounts of usage there.
My thought is, you know, if we can assist them in any way we can, we do that. But then, you know, down the road, you know, it needs to level back out so that we can help the next business down the road.
So is there a way to monitor that?
Oh, I think so.
I think Scott has hit the nail on the head with the fact that our experience is limited here, and we would go off and look into that whole aspect of use and flow based upon other organizations
and get what we need to do done to get them
ready for the booth,
and then that part would come down the road.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I guess.
Okay.
I just have one question. On the sewer rates, those are flat rate anyway, aren't they? Pretty much?
They are. They're based on the same as water, though. It's all on the EDU. Uh-huh. So if you're paying one EDU charge on water, you pay one on the sewer as well.
Okay.
If that goes up on the water, it goes up on the sewer.
I see.
Mm-hmm. But the point is well taken that, you know, if you put 90% of the... If you're putting 90% of the water into a bottle and it's not going back in the sewer, there has to be some new formula there of some fashion. But like Stu has said, that's something we'll work on down the road. I think we're ready to go forth with it in some fashion.
I'm just thinking. You put it in the bottle and then you sell it to him and then take it home and pay for it.
There'll be plenty of investigations of this brewer.
Okay. Kathy, did you have some input at this time?
I just wonder, I mean, if we're worried about what other businesses look at coming in, do you ever do anything like just decrease it to $1,000 or something to where it shows they've invested in that too? Does that make a difference for the way it looks? Just decreasing the charges for an entry, does that make sense? Am I trying to... Rather than wiping it all out, say they don't pay any, they're talking about recouping the charges farther down. What if there was like $1,000 charge instead of the
75, 71,
yeah, whatever it is, $8,000 charge.
Keep in mind, there's already been a lot of SDCs paid on this property.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, how many? Do you know how much? There's been a lot of money paid on this property already.
I don't remember, but it was a pretty good amount of money that was paid there, and this, to me, it's a little bit of a different situation because it's all one tax lot, so it's not like really the city would be given a credit, or you'd just be looking at the way that property is built and doing a little bit of a shift of which part gets more or less of the bill.
Yeah, and Kathy, I think I would say that, go back to our city manager's recommendation, the fact that these SDCs have already been paid, and they're probably high in that way anyway. So
I understand that part. So I was just worried about the validating of not having them paid. That would look better in the validation. That's all I was thinking. Go on.
Okay. Well, I think this affords us the opportunity to make a decision now.
That's why I put it on your a meeting agenda under special session, so that if you did want to take an action, because this gentleman, as with most business people, time is of the essence. He's wanting to make some business decisions now. And we've got, you know, and again, from a staff perspective, we want to leave him with the assurances that if he brings his business here, that we're going to work with him business-wise to make it worth his while, especially if he can vote with his feet to go somewhere else. We want to put the hook in him. We don't want him to get out of here. That's where I'm coming from.
Okay. With that, are there any further comments or questions, counsel? If not, then I would entertain a motion that we waive these SDCs as described by the city manager with his recommendation, and that be predicated on this this business coming in as it's expressed here.
So moved.
Been moved. Is there a second?
Question.
We need a second first to get to the question.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. I'll second it.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd like something in that motion with the ability of, because if we make that and pass that motion right there the way it's worded, we won't be able to monitor and get them inaccurate. We need something down the road, don't we?
That's on the second business.
The second one? Okay.
That's right. I'm looking at them separately.
Okay. Good.
You know, we think there's enough built-in fee structure within the present lot that you can adjust fees around a little bit to create an equity that's fair for everyone.
Okay.
In this circumstance. Now, when the gentleman comes in and he's talking about a brewery at another location, then that will look at that on its own merits at that time. Okay?
Perfect.
And we can actually make that motion following this one, that we have it looked into, but let's get through this. Okay.
Get him going on that.
Been moved and seconded. Any further comments? Greg?
No.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Opposed? It's unanimous.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jillian.
Okay.
Hey, much success.
Thanks. Thank
you. Now, you all opened up yesterday, correct?
We're moving forward as quick as we can.
Good.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you.
I think this this agenda item lent itself to having discussion from the public and the participants, and but we'll move back into our regular special session under normal rules. And at this time, item 5 is the city manager and the severance package. I will provide this information in that the city manager, and I and the city attorney sat down last week and reviewed the circumstances of a severance package, and we have set the final day for the city manager as the 19th of April, which is 30 days, and we will proceed with that. The city attorney will proceed with the severance package as it is required under ORS. Any questions, comments?
I just wondered, because I didn't I'd either been sick and I was going anyway, but what is in the package? I mean, I've sent out a few emails as to my thoughts, and I just don't know what has formally been put in there.
It is a basic package of 30 days salary and any other incomes accruing to the city manager over that time.
Is there like moving package,
no,
moving conditions, nothing?
There's nothing in there other than the 30 days salary.
Okay, did you talk about 2 months salary?
No, we talked about 30 days.
Okay, so that's what you've settled on, is 30
right.
days.
Right. Okay.
Excuse me, could you email her?
Yes, I will. I will mail you a copy of the severance package.
Okay.
Greg, and you too.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I have a copy too?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I think there's a provision in there that if the work isn't completed on the 19th, if we need a couple more days or something, that the mayor, in consultation with the attorney, has some discretion. You know, as we get close to the finish line, we may have something that needs a couple extra days to wrap up, but the focus is on the 19th, as we stand. Is that
and,
not correct?
Yeah, but I will speak directly to that. In our sit-down session, we looked over the items that still needed attention, that weren't those kinds of items that would be ongoing, and we have set as a council approved for me as mayor to do to set the final date, and to and we'll talk more past this, but we have set the final date at the 19th of April without any extensions or going into any further time based upon any other reason. And having said that, I think that it is appropriate. We have a service contract with Rick Allen, and I think it's appropriate that we bring Rick in to start working on the financials and the budget, because it's an ongoing process that we'll be working on until the 30th of June. And so I would like to just have the council's consensus to have Rick come aboard specifically for the financials and for areas of the budget that he can work on.
Excuse me, point of order. You were talking about outside of the severance package, and that has not been noticed to the public. That is against the ORS statutes. There might be more public that wants to.
I would ask you, Vicki, to wait until it's public comment.
Okay, but you're in violation of the public meetings law. Just make note of that.
And in lieu of any other information that we might need, I will wait until staff, council, and mayor's comments to deal with any more of this. And now we're at item 6, ordinance 2013-01, city manager.
All right, well, we have, and it should be in your package, a ordinance that I've brought for your possible approval this evening. You've seen it a couple times before. It deals with code enforcement, and what this does is this is a code enforcement ordinance that addresses all of the city ordinances, because code enforcement is not just code abatement, but it finds itself in any number of ordinances. And so if you're going to have a code enforcement ordinance, it's important that you first establish certain code enforcement procedures for the city, and this is what this attempts to do. What's kind of neat about this is that in most places you have a code enforcement procedures that's relying upon the court system for enforcement purposes, and this one instead relies upon a hearing examiner or a hearing officer that can hear code enforcement issues and deliberate them, and then you don't need a courtroom. Well, you can use your city hall as a courtroom, but you don't have to go through the full effects of a court because they're very expensive. You need to get before a judge and to have an attorney present, and you know, and that's not to preclude your ability to have representation, but it just says if you can use a hearing examiner to hear code enforcement matters rather than the court system, and we're really not prepared to have a court system down here, then you're going to save an awful lot of money. So I asked the attorney if he couldn't construct it that way, and he explored and found that we could, and so that's been incorporated here, again, to reduce costs. And so staff is recommending that you approve this.
Okay.
And just one more thing. There is yet a second code enforcement ordinance that follows this one. It's called the code abatement enforcement. And it'll deal specifically with the things in this community that need code abatement. Okay? Thank you.
Okay. We have heard this several times. We've been down, you know, we postponed this once before, and I think we're all very familiar with it. And that being the case, I would ask for a motion to approve, and I will read the title only. City of Lapine Ordinance Number 2013-01, an ordinance establishing certain code enforcement procedures for the City of Lapine. I would entertain a motion that we approve this ordinance.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I would ask for a roll call vote.
Kathy Hagan here. Yes.
Kathy Hagan voted yes.
Stu Martinez, yes.
Greg Jones, yes.
Opposed? Let the record reflect that a roll call vote, that it was unanimous. That approval of the ordinance number 2013-01, an ordinance establishing certain code enforcement procedures for the City of Lapine. Item number 7 is uncollectible utility accounts.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Never mind. I was going to say Ashley's behind you.
Okay.
Oh, there she is.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'll make a comment, and maybe Ashley will want to make a comment as well. The item 7 is request for the council to consider foregoing 2 utility billings. Because not been able to be collected, and this gives a breakdown, this memorandum gives a breakdown of why we're unable to collect them. We don't have the wherewithal or the authority within the billing policies and practices that we've inherited to provide for that. And so this explains that they're not able to be collected. They're due and payable. I'm not sure what the amounts are, but it's asking you to set them aside. Because in my view, you are the only body that has the authority to set these aside. So with that, maybe Ashley, you could add a couple words here to give the council a little bit of insight.
I wanted to see what you guys got. Sorry, just a second. This is it. Mm-hmm. Attached to this is about 70 sheets of paper that are all the notices that I've sent attempting to collect the debt. A breakdown of how much the debt was, and one of them is around $1,000, and I think the other one is around $700. And they've been in arrears since 2011. The homes were sold via short sale, so someone else owns the homes. I can't really lien them because someone else owns them now, and we don't do collections. So,
can I ask it? Is it? Do I get from this that if you've bought a home where they've left owing money, that we try to collect that from the new owner?
No. I try to collect it from the old owner.
That actually happened to me when I bought my home.
Did we try to collect it from you?
We tried to collect $900 back debt.
Okay. Well, I quit. No. I don't do that now. Yeah. I try to get it from the old owner.
Well, it's the old company, yeah.
Okay. I've got a question. My thoughts are around the idea that if we have a lien on the property, and then if we have a lien on the property, and it goes through a bank, and it goes through the whole title
escrow
yeah. process, why wouldn't our lien get satisfied?
That lien does get satisfied, but we only lien once a year, and so if we lien it in January, and then the home sells in February. Those new people, we wouldn't be able to lien that property for the amounts owing until February, until July, but someone else owns the home now. Does that make sense?
Why do we only lien once a year?
I don't know. It's just how we've always done it. And only sewer liens. Water doesn't lien.
Right, right. But wouldn't it be that we would lien every month if we had a case of...
Well, we lien on the property taxes, and property taxes only come out once a year. And so if I was going to tie the two together, that's why I'd say we only lien once a year.
Steve, what is that? I've just got the idea that this sounds so unusual.
Well, and as Ashley points out in her letter, that this has to do with the short sale, and she went back, two or three years, and we haven't had any similar circumstance. So the way I'm gathering is that this asking in this circumstance for relief for these two utility accounts is sort of an exception. It doesn't happen very often, but Ashley doesn't have another recourse available to her in her toolbox, at least. That's what she's advising.
And that's something that we would look at, but we haven't gone over these. It's the same with the SDCs. We may want to reduce those, but we just haven't got to that yet. And they're sitting on the books, and they're collecting, accruing late fees and more charges, so that better to just get them off the books. They've been there since 2011.
I just have one question. How do we let a homeowner get that far in arrears on water bills?
When they move, we charge minimums regardless of the occupancy of the home. So when someone moves,
when they walk away from
away from their house, it takes the bank sometimes even a year to catch up with me and get those fees paid.
Do they shut their water off or?
Some do. I would say 80% don't.
Oh really? They just leave.
And it slowed significantly down in the last, I would say, 2 years.
Yeah,
Stu.
Utilities, it's the same way. They just up and walk away from it. Mm-hmm. There's no way to track it. Collection agencies can't even track them, so there's nothing you can do.
I don't have any problem with this at all. I just, my thoughts were around, are our procedures such and our policies, the way we do it, is that the only way we can do it to make sure that we... I mean, is there any other way that we could do it, have policies that would help us capture this? I mean, we've been doing it a certain way for a long time. Mm-hmm. Is there another way to do it so that we don't...
Well, yeah. We went from... when I got here in July, on my final balance owing register, which doesn't mean a whole lot to anybody, except that those are people who have sold their homes and they owe me money. There was 27 people on it, and the last one I printed in the middle of March had 9. So we're just being really diligent about sending letters as often as we can, making sure people have correct phone numbers, calling them, and it just, I mean, we've really eliminated most of it. We're getting down to the bottom of it, and these are just the only two I could find that were at the bottom.
Ashley's done a great job at collections and keeping vigilant on collecting the water and sewer fees from people and really analyzing it.
And Council?
It's frustrating.
No doubt about it.
Bring them to me after, you know, we've had some that I just want to scream and go knock on, but you can't. And so I'd have to agree with them. They're doing it. Down to this two from what it used to be is excellent.
Council?
Yeah, I agree with Stu. It's very good.
Do we need to move that?
Yeah.
I make a motion to remove the two last delinquent utility accounts, uncollectible accounts, from the records.
Okay.
Second.
Is it moved and seconded to remove the uncollectible utility accounts as described? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ashley.
Have a good night.
And Mayor, I might just note, this is, I would think this body would be the body that uncollectibles would be brought to, and that likely from time to time you're going to receive similar requests for uncollectibles.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good evening.
We're on item 8, and it's public comments. Are there any public comments?
Douglas Ward, Pine Drive, city resident. In reference to number 4, a RV park was mentioned, and the building of a group of, which RV park are we talking about?
Yes, it's public comments, Doug. Just... You have issues with that?
Well, no, you can't tell me where it is.
It's up in Wickiup. There's an RV park up there. I'm not exactly sure. Dan, can you?
Is the name of like Polina Peak or it's Newberry. Just pardon me?
Newberry.
Newberry RV park.
Yes.
Okay. And where would the group of?
Doug, let me just clarify. This is public comment time, not questions and answers. And I don't mean anything other than that, but we need to move along. And if you've got some public comments, I'd be glad to allow you to make them.
That was what I had for public.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Further public comments?
On your delinquent accounts, on the short sale, the seller has to negotiate with the bank. And if there is an amount owing, what I'm thinking about, you have to have it recorded on the title so that you would definitely get paid at closing. But on a bank repo, if you're sending it certified return receipt, if the bank actually owns it, it is their obligation to pay it. And if they won't pay it in the real estate thing, they will require the buyer. But that's all negotiated while you're doing the deal. So there is a way, you really need to lien the property, but I don't know if it's more cost or whatever, but I don't know how much delinquency you have. But anyway, thank you.
Okay.
Yes, as a realtor and property manager, I'm glad that you're addressing this now with only $1,700 due, and Ashley does a great job. This is a big issue. in Bend and Redmond, especially for rental properties. And now we're finding out they're running them off with Stu's garbage cans. So I think now is a prudent time to set some things in place, and Ashley's very good about tracking down tenants. But I just think also that your key to this not happening is to lien that property. Mm-hmm. Because they cannot, if it's a lien, they cannot do that transaction and convey title with anything on it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So as a planning commissioner, I would like to know what a brewery from a RV park is a big change, and I know their ordinances and comprehensive plans and all this. I assume that we will have a chance to look at this once it goes to the county for the permits, because I would think the public might want to weigh in on something like that. I don't know. So that's my statement.
Okay.
You know, I'm just concerned.
Thank you. Kitty?
Yes, if you recall, during goal setting, one of the things I wanted to add was to review and update the utilities policies and procedures, and this reminded me of it again, this concept of liening only once a year. I mean, liens can be done any time of the year, and I think it should, someone earlier made the comment, I think that it should just be done as it's needed. And then you won't have that fall through the cracks things. So, and when I made that suggestion to review the utilities, policies, and procedures, I was thinking that would be a great job for the Public Works Committee, in case they don't have enough to do.
Thank you, Kim. Any further public comment?
You're fired.
Hearing none. Oh.
I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for manifesting that the council is business friendly and is looking forward to encouraging businesses that are, you know, trying to create jobs and move forward. And I think that we can use this as an example and hopefully encourage other businesses to step out too and join us. So I just want to thank you.
Okay, thank you. There being no further public comments, staff comments? Steve?
No. Yeah, I do have a staff comment. I was going to wait for the other staff comment, but we found out today from Pam Squires that the USDA transaction is finally complete, and we will bring that forth on April 10th, hopefully to culminate it. But what that does then is that transfers all of the federal obligations that go with sewer and water in the city, and so concludes the transfer process, which we thought would happen in August, but here it is almost April and it'll finally happen. But it'll happen, and that's really good news for the city, because otherwise we're just kind of hanging out there a little bit. And so just another feather in Lapine's cap in terms of, you know, being a full-fledged city and having all the authorities in place.
Okay, thank you. Council comments?
Sometimes I'm here and then I go away. I guess I just would like to respectfully ask that the severance package at least be include moving expenses for Stephen and his family if we're not giving him 2 months severance. I would like to respectfully ask at least for moving charges.
Yep. Is that you?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was a popcorn popper or something.
I thought it was my turn. I'm sorry.
Any comments there?
I was just thinking, I don't know if anyone was notified, but House Bill 3130
yes.
was voted on in the House and passed and is now on its way to the Senate for approval.
59-1
59-1 yes. So we're on our way for our industrial park to have the money to be able to do what we need to do. So that was good news today.
That was great news. And just to elaborate on what Stu said, there's $200,000 that's available in the industrial park, and the county would like to use that as matching monies to facilitate the installation of the signalization at First and Reed and 97, which is a very dangerous intersection, as we all know. And ODOT has agreed to kick in $500,000, but then all of a sudden the attorney for the county read the authority to use those monies for that purpose and said, I don't know that we can. So then the solution was asked the legislature to look at the language and possibly modify it so that it could be used in that purpose. And as what we heard from Stu is that the House overwhelmingly passed and approved this measure that now moves to the Senate. And if we get a similar response in the Senate, then those monies will be available. And if those monies will be available, then that will put together the whole point, $1.3 million that's necessary to signalize that intersection, which is great news for this community.
Yep. Very good. And I would also like to throw out there that we need to, as the council, maybe through the mayor or through another councilor or through our attorney, get a hold of the League of Oregon Cities to start the process of someone to replace our current well-liked, well-appreciated city manager.
Here, here.
We need to start that process as soon as possible.
With that comment, I'd ask the council to consensus to for one of the councilors to join me in approaching the League of Oregon Cities as you described. Is there a volunteer?
Well, I got lots of time. Jackie?
Okay. You and I?
Sure.
Okay. Council?
And I'd like to also add that you keep the rest of us informed. I know you will, but
I know. Okay.
Just want out there for the public.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
So at the last city council, then I know I missed a lot, but did you decide to bring Rick on in the interim? Was that
No, and I'm going to talk to that in my comments. At this time. Anything else, Mary? Okay. item 11 is Mayor's comments. And I'd like to go back over just the idea that I think it's appropriate that we bring Rick in to start working on the financials and the budgets, because it's an ongoing thing that's going to take us into the end of June as we pass our new budget. And I would like to do that straight away. I think it's appropriate to do it straight away. So,
do you have something?
No.
You were looking at me like.
I need to get back to what we're doing here. Have the consensus of the council to bring Rick in and have him sit down with the city manager and start picking up on the financials and the budget.
Okay, and he's already on contract.
He's under contract, and it fits under his list of things he can do.
Things he can do.
Yeah. His schedule of of things he can do. Okay. Okay.
Well, we need a seamless transition. So
Continuity.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think, and I say this with honesty, I think Stephen is of the caliber that would like to see that happen.
Absolutely.
And I would really appreciate Stephen working with Rick or whoever, but in this case, you know, I think Rick would be the appropriate person. And I know the two of them all the staff would be the best caliber of people to do that. So I'm in favor of it.
Okay. Kathy?
I don't think any of this would have gone the way it has if Stephen wasn't the man he is. And I appreciate that, and I know he will.
All right. Thank you. So we will move forward on that. The other thing is we've already done the Greg and I to approach LOC to deal with setting up the process of looking at an interim city manager. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. We're adjourned. We will take 5 minutes. Is called to order, and a roll call, please.
Kathy Hagan here.
Mr. Martinez here.
Greg Jones here.
And the mayor's here. Candidates for city council. What we need to do here is we have 4 applications for city council, and we need to set a date for the interview process. And what I would recommend to the council is think about either a special session to do it, because I think we're going to be very busy on the 10th. Isn't that your feeling?
I would think we're feeling? Going to be more than very busy.
Okay. Because remember, the 10th we've got a budget meeting tied in with that. So,
Mayor, excuse me, but on the 10th, and it's still, didn't we set in the afternoon for the budget on the 10th?
1 p.m.
1 p.m. Okay. So we're actually going to have 2 meetings. We'll have the one with the budget session at 1.
At 1.
Which I would suspect will go at least a couple hours.
Right.
And then we'll have the regular council
at 6.
Session at 6.
Okay. But I know that we, Steve and I have already talked about the fact that the evening session is going to be a busy session too. So, with that, we will also add to it, or we need to decide whether we want to do a special session for the interviews. Any suggestions or comments or thoughts?
I would think we'd need to
do something. You don't want to add it to the 10th.
Not the 10th.
No.
That sounds like it'd be a long deal.
The following Wednesday. Any thoughts or preferences around the idea of having it in the afternoon or rather than at 6 o'clock?
What about 17?
The 17th?
Is that what you're looking
at? That's, yeah.
What about?
That's actually the Planning Commission night meeting.
Oh, that Wednesday is the Planning Commission?
The third Wednesday of every
month. Okay.
Are they planning a meeting that night?
Yeah, Deborah Bonanno's doing a presentation.
Okay.
Okay. The 18th is a Thursday. Has anybody got issues around that?
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. I was just wondering if maybe an evening time wouldn't be better for these guys. I don't know what their schedules are like, but usually after six or
okay. Eight. Stu, any input there?
Calendar is trying to catch up.
I need to look here too. Something's telling me about the 18th.
My Wi-Fi isn't working. Dan.
The only thing I'd have to check out is if the Ford Institute had something going, because the big splash is on the 20th. So that's, I don't know.
I don't
Unless
have anything.
Unless we had it, you know, earlier in the day. I don't know.
You mean as the night might be part of what you're,
yeah,
you'd be tied up in?
Yeah, if they have a meeting, they probably might be meeting by 5 or 5:30.
Yeah.
But if it was earlier.
I'm good all day. You know me.
Yeah, and I have nothing on my schedule for the 18th.
I'm getting there. I'm sorry.
He's in the right year.
Yeah, you don't have anything on the 18th?
I don't have anything.
Not you there.
Okay. Okay, 18th, I think, I guess, according to Dan,
you're
okay.
Free. You're cheap.
The SNSJ was.
Yeah.
Kathy, what do you think's a good time? 3 o'clock?
Yeah, 3, 4, I would think. I don't know. It shouldn't.
Either one would be fine with me.
Okay. 3 o'clock, all right?
That's fine with me.
Okay. 18th? Okay. Would you put that together?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, I see one of the candidates right now. He should be scared.
Where'd the other one go?
Oh. I think we chased the other ones out of the building here. Right. And we're going to have some tough questions to ask them, like, who's buried in Grant's tomb?
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Item number 4 is design of city logo status report. I entertain a motion to table that.
It never should have been on there in the first place. I agree to table it.
Although
second or third or whatever.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none.
Aye.
All those in favor of tabling item 4?
Aye. Here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. We've tabled item 4. The franchise agreement, California Oregon Broadcasting Crestview Cable Communications, is item number 5. And
yes, see. Mr. Mayor and council members, I just wanted to call this to your attention. In the past, Crestview Cable Communications has had a franchise agreement with the city. And for whatever reason, they let it lapse. And my whole life, I've never heard of any organization letting a franchise agreement lapse because they're so valuable. Nonetheless, they let it lapse, and so that presents an opportunity for the city to come back in and restructure the terms and conditions. So I've been working with Jeremy. We have constructed a draft ordinance. We met yesterday with Crestview Cable Communications, and they've had this draft for some time, and they countered with a few changes, and then we qualified. What they were trying to do, in my estimation, is they were trying to ratchet down some of their obligations and conditions. But fortunately, Jeremy is also has provided the same similar ordinance for some other cities. And so we looked at their language, and their language was looser. And so I made the argument, look, other cities are our competitors, and they have advantages that we don't have. And if we have more restrictive language here than our counterparts, then that further disadvantages us. So we want the looser language. So we told them we were interested in looser language, and that we would present the looser language to council. I think they're okay with that. We also told them that the Crestview Cable site, which is located over there, Monson and First, it's pretty nasty looking. And that a condition of the ordinance approval was that they clean up that mess over there and they make it stand tall. And I think they're in agreement with that. You know, while we're in a good position, we want to leverage as much as we can. I also asked them for a street light, if we can wrestle a street light out of them someplace. You know, again, you don't get these opportunities very often, and if you don't take advantage of them, shame on you.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of where it is. So we have a draft, knock on wood, we would have it for you for your consideration on April 10th.
Okay.
And then do closure. And what the franchise fee provides is, I don't know if it's 5% of the, I assume it's 5% of the gross receipts would be the franchise fee that they pay for video programming to the city. Okay. Thank you.
So we'll see that back on the council's agenda on the 10th. And item number, yes.
On that, with your talking with them, I need to let you know that you probably just forced them to burn illegally because they're back there burning all their stuff right now.
We told them very clearly that they needed to work with some organization called Wilderness Garbage to get 30 or however many containers they needed and that, use your services.
That was not my intent. I was saying they're back there burning.
All right.
Right, well, now, and they're also burning out in the meadow.
Okay, well, we probably need to go over there and eyeball it because, again, that's not cleaning the place up.
No.
That's burning the things down.
Well, fire department was there today.
Oh, really?
Was it?
Two trucks.
Oh, well.
We must have got away from them.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, I will call these folks tomorrow and tell them that they need to play square with us. That, you know, cleaning the site up doesn't mean burning things down.
I think it's very appropriate to ask them the conditions of what their plans are around that. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Absolutely.
Okay, any further comments? At this time, is item number 6 is public comments. Any public comments on what we've...
Well, just conveniently after your Crestview thing, they have hauled out a bunch of trucks out of there. They've been making a lot of headway and pulling it out, and the fire department was there today. It looked to me, I didn't know they were there responding. I thought they were there to oversee it or something. But anyway, they were doing it. So I think that they're in good faith. They look like they're in good faith. They've been hauling stuff out of there for about the last month. They had about 3 or 4 trucks in there that were just disabled.
Well, that's good. I made it real clear to them that I wouldn't even take this to council for their consideration until they clean that mess up. And again, we want everybody here to have a nice, enjoyable quality of life. And if there's people that are messy out there, we want to send the messages out however we can. You need to clean up your act.
They were a big eyesore. So
yeah.
Thank you. That's a good.
Okay. Any further public comment? Hearing none, I'll move to staff comments. Any further staff comments?
No, thanks.
Okay, and council comments? Mayor's comments? I have no comments. Entertain a motion to adjourn?
Move adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor? Unanimous. We're adjourned.